Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, y'all know what I'm going to say. It is a great word this morning on this New Old Testament Friday. We're going to be coming out of the book of Ezra chapter 3 through chapter, chapter 8. So chapter 3 through chapter 8 of the book of Ezra. And as we know, the children of Israel have been in captivity for 70 years, have been assigned to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple of God. So let's see where we are. But first, before we get started, we have our 365 day of prayer. And I am just filled up today. And it is just simply this. It is you, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Holy Spirit, you are the best companion I could ever ask for. Your presence brings with it the fruit of the kingdom. Peace that passes understanding fills my heart and mind when you are near. Your love that casts out every fear is tangible with your touch. Joy springs from the depth of my soul. You hold all the wisdom I could ever look for. You're the best teacher. You don't forget a word of truth. Nothing slips from your mind. Helper, I trust you to guide me in every twist and turn in this life. Your support keeps me together when I would otherwise fall apart. You are the wind bringing refreshing to my sun-scorched soul. You are the water in a dry desert, reviving my body. You are like honey on my tongue, bringing sweetness to the ordinary. And you are so much more. I am so grateful for your friendship. Without you, I would not know the depth of the Father's love. Thank you for your presence in my life. We got to thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he loves us like that. And, you know, I was looking at my prayer for yesterday. We did not blog on yesterday, but I just want to share it, a giving heart. You know, I want to say to my mother and my cousin and my family, you know, that I've just visited, my sister and nieces and brother-in-law, and just to say thank you for hospitality, for companionship, for just God being in charge. You know, I had to laugh because, you know, I thought about the children of Israel and their 40-year journey to get to the promised land. You know, our trip was supposed to be about 10 and a half, 11 hours. It went a little longer because there was some of us, myself, who was driving and had determined that I didn't want to go across a particular bridge. And so I went all the way around and did all this driving extra that I didn't have to do because of my trying to avoid something that was inevitable. And guess what? Still had to go over that same bridge. Still had to go the same way. Got all discombobulated when all I had to do was just go straight. Instead, I went all around, up and down the highway, back around, by being hard-headed and not wanting to just do it. And then what God does, he sends a ram in the bush. I got all turned around because the exit I was supposed to take was closed because of an accident. And so I wound up trying to get to some place that I wasn't going to be able to get to because I wasn't on the right side of the highway. And so the only way I could go was the way I needed to go, which was over this big, tall, what I felt, raggedy bridge. But God put a big truck in front of me that I followed all the way into town. All I can say was he had the big, bright light that took us down this back road. God gave us light until the very end. I didn't know that daylight could last to almost 9 o'clock, but it did, because God did it. And, you know, he sent this big truck to basically guide us down this road and across the bridge all the way home. And I say, God has a heart that is giving, even when we're hard-headed. Even when we take the long way around, God is always there. And all I can say to my cousin and my mother is, thank you for being my friends, because I know my mom was probably getting quite frustrated. You know, it's like, this girl. And yeah, I am hard-headed. I will say it, but I give my heart to God. And I ask him to forgive me for my hard-head and being a stiff neck. And it says, you know, a giving heart. In all things I've shown you, that by working hard in the way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I am grateful that those that rode with me and went with me on this trip, that we had a great time, because my sister and her family were very generous. You know, this is glorious. And gracious God, you are so generous. May I follow the example you set in freely giving of my resources and time to serve others. You do not hold back from me, so let me serve others kindly, remembering whose lead I'm following. You know the tendency of my heart to receive freely and to store those things up, though I'm not naturally quick to give things away. That's not my prayer. This is a prayer from the book, because I am freely. I'll give away everything. God knows that I like to give. I'm very hard and reluctant to receive. And God is working on me on that. He's working on me to learn how to receive, because I like to give. You know, and God has said that, you know, it's all right to receive. It's all right to let people give to you. Because I'm ready always to, you know, here, you can have this, here, you can have that, here, you know, I'll take you here, I'll do that, I'll do this. And God is teaching me that sometimes you got to be still and let others help you. So have a giving heart, have a loving heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. Give to your churches, give to your communities, just give. A giving heart is a staying heart and a loving heart. And God loves you. So let's get back into our word this morning, because we're here for Bible study. And again, we're coming out of the book of Ezra in our Old Testament Friday. And we'll be reading out of chapters 3 all the way to chapter 8, verse 36. And just forgive me on changing weather and climate. I'm getting a little hoarse, but I'm all right. So don't think, oh, she's sick again. No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm just having to adjust to the change in weather and the change in the type of air that I'm breathing. Texas air is a little drier, and honestly, I felt really great. And when I'm coming back here to the Midwest in Kentucky, it is a little different. The weather's a little different, so it's causing me to be a little hoarse, but I am fine. So let's get into our word this morning, family. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for this great word today. We thank you, Lord God, to know that you give us an understanding that we can go back, that we can build, that we can be bigger and better, that we can have all that you have called us to have, that you, God, are the giver of everything. You gave us life. You gave us peace, and you give us joy. Father God, I lift this word up to you this morning asking you to, as always, increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I lift up this mighty word in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezra chapter 3. And when the 11th, the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brother, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its basis, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offerings and those for new moons and for all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a free will offering to the Lord. Even back then, they was taking up offerings, okay? So don't get offended when the pastor asks for offering, because it is a God. And it's, and a free will offering is even the best kind of offering, because you give it freely. It says, from the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. They also gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old. And above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Joshua, with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel, from his sons and the sons of Judah, arose and went to oversee those working on the house of God. The sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brothers, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid, because there before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shouts of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, down was heard afar off. And we know how it is when you had something and lost it. When you've had something look beautiful and great and awesome and you lost it. And then when you get something to replace it, that's just not quite what you had. You know, your heart hurts but you know you should be grateful because you got something. They got a temple foundation where they didn't have anything. They remember the beauty of the Temple of Solomon. Are looking at what they just laid, grateful that they are able to do it, but reminiscing of what they lost 70 years before because they were what? Stiff-necked and hard-headed. And we can't be like that, like this host was on yesterday. We got to understand God's in charge, and he will lead you where you need to go. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the father's house and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we have sacrificed him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the heads of the father's houses of Israel said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. In the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Now understand, these are the fakes that they put in their place. You know, it's like we sacrifice to your God. You don't even know our God. Fake. But they put somebody in to teach them some of the stuff. So they think they know the stuff, but they just came. They nothing but the sneaky snake slithering in to cause confusion. And I'm going to tell you something. Zerubbabel didn't play. And Joshua did not play. And they were like, no, we got an assignment, and we don't need your help. Keep it moving. And it goes on to tell us that now these folks have got mad because they can't come in and sabotage. So they're going to try to do it in a different way. So let's see what happens. And it goes on saying, in the days of Artaxerxes, also Bishalom and Mithridates, Tebal, and the rest of their companions wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the latter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. Rahum, the commander of the Shemshai, the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes in this fashion. From Rahum, the commander, Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, representatives of the Danites, the Ephrathites, and forgive my if I mess up these names, I'm telling you up front, please forgive me, Tarpalites, the people of Persia and Erech and Babylon and Shushan, the Dehabites, the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Osnaphar took captive and settled in the cities of Samaria and the remainder beyond the river and so forth. This is a copy of the letter that they sent him to King Artaxerxes from your servants, the men of the region beyond the river and so forth. Let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem and are building the rebellion, an evil city, and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Let it now be known to the king that if this city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasury will be diminished. Now, because we received support from the palace, it was not proper for us to see the king dishonored. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king that search may be made in the book of the records of your father, and you will find in the book of the records and know that the city is a rebellious city, harmful to kings and provinces, and that they have incited sedition within the city in former times, for which cause this city was destroyed. It's rebuilt, and its walls are completed. The result will be that you will have no dominion beyond the river. The king sent an answer to Rehum, the commander to Shimshah, the scribe, and to the rest of the companions who dwell in Samaria, and to the remainder beyond the river, peace and so forth. This letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me, and gave the command, and a search has been made, and it was found that the city in former times has revolted against kings, and rebellion and sedition have been fostered in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem, who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax, tribute, and custom were paid to them. Now give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of King Xerxes was read before Rehum, Shimshai, and the scribes and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem to the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year in the reign of Darius, king of Persia. You know, there are always, the enemy always comes before of God. God sent these people back to build his temple. And here comes the slimy, sneaky snake with his minions to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he does, kill, steal, and destroy. Whatever it is God's trying to do, but he does not understand even yet, you're going to lose. And these folks are going to lose. They're going to build a temple. They're going to build the walls of Jerusalem. Everything that the canker worm tried to steal, kill, and destroy, God is going to restore. We got to know that God is in charge. And as we go into the life lessons for this section of our word, it says this in chapter 4, verse 2. Let us deal with you, for we seek your God as you do. The adversaries of God and of his people do not always attack with a frontal assault. Sometimes they try to seem friendly and sympathetic. Come on now. A life of faith requires us to remain alert at all times. We got to be alert. We got to watch as well as pray. Because the enemy is busy, and he loves to come and meddle with folks of the church. He loves to meddle in church business. That's what he does, mess up stuff, because that's his job. But we also understand and know he's not going to win. Because when God is before us, who can stand against us? Nobody. And what God has for you is for you, and can't nobody take it. And as we go back into this word, it says that the word that God gave me for this morning is also coming out of Ezra chapter 8. The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him. All those for good. These folks came back for good. They didn't come back to rebel. They didn't come back to start any mess. They came back to do the work God had called them to do. Then it says, how can I find the strength to endure when I face spiritual opposition? And we'll come back to that after we get finished with our word this morning. This word from Dr. Stanley. Some life questions. We'll do that one after we get finished this morning. And it says, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Sometimes God allows opposition to his will to succeed for a time. We may not know why, and unexpected developments may dishearten us, but adversity is merely a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. We got to move forward. That's what we do. So let's go to chapter 5 of Ezra, and it says, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Lord God of Israel, who were over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. At the same time, Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shetar-Bezni and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them, "Who has commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall?" Then accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing the building. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till the report could go to Darius. Then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai sent, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar-Bezni and his companions, the Persians who were in the region beyond the river, to Darius the king. They sent a letter to him in which was written thus, to Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the temple of the great God, which is being built with heavy stones, excuse me, and timber to begin being laid in the walls. And this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke thus to them, "Who commanded you to build this temple and to finish these walls?" We also asked them their names to inform you, that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them. And thus they returned us an answer, saying, "We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and completed. Fathers provoked the God of heaven to wrath. He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldeans, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God. Also, the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried into the temple of Babylon, those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one named Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said to him, "Take these articles, go carry them to the temple site that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its former site." Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time even until now, it has been under construction, and it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the king's treasure house, which in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure concerning this matter. Then King Darius issued a decree, and a search was made in the archives where the treasures were stored in Babylon and at Ecbatana in the palace that is in the province of Media. A scroll was found, and in the record was written thus, "In the first year of King Cyrus issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations of it be firmly laid at its height 60 cubits, its width 60 cubits, and with three rows of heavy stone, one row of new timber. Let the expenses be paid from the king's treasury. Also let the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the people which is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and taken back to the temple which is in Jerusalem, each to its place, and deposit in the house of God. Now therefore, Tattenai, governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethbazna, forgive my, oh Lord, help me Jesus, and your companions, the Persians, who are beyond the river, keep yourselves far from here. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build the house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree as to what you shall do for the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God. Let the cost be paid at the king's expense from taxes on the region beyond the river. This is to be given immediately to these men so that they are not heart injured. And whatever they need, young bulls, rams, lambs, for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, oil, according to the request of the priests who are in Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet aroma to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I issue a decree that whoever alters this edict, let a timber be pulled from his house and erected, and let him be hanged on it, and let his house be made a refuge heap because of this, and make cause of his name to dwell there, destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it or to destroy the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, issue a decree. Let it be done diligently. What the enemy meant for evil, God just flipped it around for good. We got to understand that whatever it is that God wants done, he is going to get done. And he wanted that temple built. The hand of God is upon all those for good who seek him. Come on now. And as we continue, it says, then Tatanai, governor of the region beyond the river, Shethar, Bosnai, and their companions diligently did according to what King Darius had sent. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the descendants of the captivity, celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. And they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God, 100 bulls, 200 lambs, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They assigned the priests to their division and the Levites to their division over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. But the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were ritually clean. And they slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel, who had returned from the captivity, ate together with all who had separated themselves from the field of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. And they kept the feast of the unleavened bread. 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Whew, what a word, what a word this morning. Chapter 7. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, and the son of Elikiah, and the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Hetab, the son of Amariah, and the son of Azariah, Meronoth, the son of Zariah, and the son of Uzziah, the son of Bic, the son of Abishai, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the Nethins, came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes, and Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. According to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is a copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra, the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes of Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and so forth. I issue a decree that all those of the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. And whereas you are being sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. And whereas you are to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem. And whereas all the silver and gold that you may find in all the province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, are to be freely offered for the house of their God in Jerusalem. Now therefore, be careful to buy with this money, bulls, rams, and lambs, with their grain offering and their drink offering, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God in Jerusalem. And whereas, whatever seems good to you and your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, do it according to the will of your God. Also, the articles that are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. And wherever and whatever more may be needed from the house of your God, which you may have occasion to provide from the king's treasury. And I, Artaxerxes, the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river, that whatever Ezra, the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of the heaven may require of you, let it be done diligently, up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribed limit. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. But why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we informed you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethins, men, or servants of the house of God. And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, that judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be death or banishment or confiscation of goods or imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who has put such a thing as in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. So I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. And again, if time permits, we'll go back over some life examples, life questions, life lessons. But the word of God is what I have been instructed to read this morning. And it says, these are the heads of their fathers' houses. And this is the genealogy of those who went up with me from Babylon to the region of King Artaxerxes of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel of the sons of David, Hattush of the sons of Zechaniah, of the sons of Barash. Zechariah and registered with him were 150 males of the sons of Pathath Moab, Elihanai, the son of Zechariah, Zeriah, and with him 200 males of the sons of Shechaniah, Ben Jahaziah, with him 300 males, and the sons of Aden, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and with him 50 males, of the sons of Elam. Hold on just a moment. Sons of Elam. God, I lost my spot family, but yeah, the girl. Jonathan with him, 50 males, of the sons of Elam. Jeshiah, the son of Athaliah, and with him 70 males, of the sons of Zebadiah, the son of Michael, and with him 80 males, of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jael, and with him 218 males, of the sons of Shelomith, Ben Josephiah, and with him 160 males, of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, the son of Bebai, and with him 28 males of the sons of Azgad, Jonan, the son of Hatkatan, and with him 110 males of the last sons of Adonikam, whose names are those Eliphelet, Jael, Shemaiah, and with him 60 males, also the sons of Bigva, Atai, and Zeba, and with them 70 males. Now I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. And I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there. Then I sent by Elijah, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elthanan, Ethnathan, Jerib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Mushlam, leaders also for Jorib and Elnathan, men of understanding. And I gave them a command for Edo, the chief man, at the place Kaphia. And I told them that they should say to Edo and his brethren, the Nathan, at the place Kaphia, and that they should bring us servants for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of Malai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah, with his sons and brothers, 18 men, and Hashbiah with him, Jeshiah of the sons of Mari, his brothers and their sons, 20 men also of the Nethinim, whom David and the leaders had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinim, all of them were designated by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ava, and we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him. And that's our title for this morning, because we can see the hand of God upon everything that is going on here, even when the enemy tried to stop what God had said would happen. He couldn't stop anything because what God has to be done, it's going to get done. And again, what is the word? The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. And I separated 12 of the leaders of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed out to them the silver and the gold and the articles, the offerings for the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his princes and all Israel who were present had offered. I weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver, silver articles weighing 100 talents, 100 talents of gold, 20 gold basins worth 1,000 dacaments, and 2 vessels of fine polished bronze, precious as gold. And I said to them, you are holy to the Lord. The articles are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord God of your fathers. Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and heads of the fathers' houses of Israel in Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So the priests and the Levites received the silver and the gold and the articles by weight to bring them to Jerusalem in the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road. So we came to Jerusalem and stayed there 3 days. Now on the 4th day, the silver and the gold and the articles were weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the priest, and with him was Elijah, the son of Phinehas. With them were the Levites, Jozabad, the son of Joshua, and Noadiah, the son of Benu. With the number and the weight of everything, all the weight was written down at that time. The children of those who had been carried away captive, who had come from the captivity, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats as a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. And they delivered the king's orders to the king's seraphs and the governors in the region beyond the river. So they gave support to the people and the house of God. Wow, what God needs done gets done. Whether anybody stands in your way, don't worry about it, because God's in charge of everything, and he is not going to forsake his children. He is not going to allow the enemy to knock you off your square. You know, he may delay, but he will never not do what he says he is going to do. And God said he was going to have his temple built, and he used a pagan king to do it. God will use whoever God wants to use. All we have to do is believe, hallelujah, that whatever God has to be done will get done. The hand of our God is upon all those who are good and seek him. Do you seek for good today? Are you seeking God this morning? And as we go back into our life lessons and questions, a life question for today is this: how can I find the strength to endure when I face spiritual opposition? They were facing spiritual opposition. And it says in the book of Ezra, we read of a believed people who faced opposition in doing what God had commissioned them to do. They sought to rebuild the holy temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar decades earlier. And they faced stiff opposition from the locals, deceitful offers of help and open attacks from the outside. Still, God's people successfully completed the temple restoration. How? By developing a spiritual quality we all need in this Christian life: endurance. The race is not given to the swift and the strong, but it's the ones that endure. We got to endure. We got to run this race. that's called life. And we got to keep holding on. Just, as I say, just hold on. Changes coming in your life. God knows the Christian life is not easy. And it never will get easy. No matter how long we live in this world, we will face opposition, both from the world and from the enemy of our souls. The devil. Jesus told us, in the world, you will have tribulation. And we know this. We see it every day. We are living it. And it says, surrounded by such opposition, if we're going to live in a way that pleases God, then we must develop endurance. The Bible is full of examples of people who endured opposition to their work and who received their reward as a result. Hebrews 11 often calls the faith hall of fame, the sum of those heroes. But what exactly involved in enduring? At least four things play a big role. So if you want to write down what endurance you need to do, encouragement from others, getting rid of hindrances, running the race, fixing your eyes on Christ. And so let's go back and touch those. Encouragement from others. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to ponder the lives of those he lists in chapter 11. He refers to them as a cloud of witnesses. We cannot see this cloud of witnesses, but we can read about them and glean from their inspiring stories of endurance. Getting rid of hindrances. Hebrews tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. This means we need to identify those things that could slow us down, including the sin God has brought to our attention. Running the race. Hebrews 12 and 1 ends by telling us, and let us run with endurance. There it is. The race that is set before us. When the going gets rough, we don't run away. We can't be quitters. The longer we push the limits, the stronger our faith becomes. And we know we got to pray until something happens. And fixing our eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12 and 2 advises us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Nothing helps us endure life like seeing the final prize before us. That prize is Christ himself. Do you want the prize? I raise my hand. Yes, I do. I want that prize. I want Jesus. Then you must endure. And Jesus promises to help you. I believe that with every part of my being, that Father God is always there, helping, leading, and guiding. And it says in Ezra 4 and 23, they were up in the haste to Jerusalem against the Jews and by force. We read that earlier. They did not play. They were like, oh, we're going to stop this. Mainly because it was just evil. And they knew they were fake. And they wanted to try to take the place because they had been there for 70 years, striving and growing. And they were mad because the Jews were back. And they knew they had favor with God. Ezra 6 and 12, may the God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand on the hand to alter it. When men once more tried to stop the work that God had decreed, in Ezra 5 and 3, the Lord used their opposition to further his cause. As children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. Remember that. We are never victims of our circumstances. God will bring you to it. He will bring you through it. And it says the children of Israel celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. Ezra 6 and 16. No life of faith is complete without regular celebrations of joy. Jesus spoke his word to us that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. We got to have the joy of the Lord because that is our strength. Ezra 6 and 21. Then the children of Israel ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations. If we truly want to seek the Lord, we have the practices of an unbelieving world. James reminds us, friendship with the world is enmity with God, James 1:4. And, you know, when we get to James, I am looking forward to it. James is one of the most awesome New Testament words. It is full of wisdom, I tell you that. Ezra 6:22, the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them. As God had done with King Cyrus, he turned King Darius' heart toward the Israelites. Though sometimes it may seem as if people in authority are acting without accountability, they are all ultimately responsible to God. No one can stop his good purposes. And if God chooses a pagan king to do his will, then he will turn the king's heart wherever he wishes and do as he pleases. We got to trust God. Keep trusting him and know that he's got your best interest at heart. He loves you like that. And as we continue, it says in Ezra 7:10, applying God's word. Ezra is a great example of what commitment to applying God's word can do for both an individual and a nation. The Persian king Artaxerxes gave Ezra permission to travel from Babylon to his ancestral homeland in Jerusalem. As a godly priest, Ezra felt compelled to improve the spiritual conditions of the remnant and of his people, and so he worked diligently to bring about several religious and cultural reforms among his discouraged countrymen. Ezra's life demonstrates the importance not merely of learning and knowing the word of God, but also of practicing how to regularly apply it in a daily life, because God has put him in a position of spiritual authority. Ezra also did everything he could think of to pass on to others what he had learned in his Bible study. Ezra wasn't just a hearer of God's word. He was also an effective and deeply committed doer. Hallelujah. That's me. That's what I want to be, a doer, not just a reader of the word of God. We got to do it. Just do it. And it says in Ezra 7:25, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges. The king did not grant Ezra all his requests simply because something odd came over him. He had been watching Ezra and recognized him as a man with God-given wisdom. Our behavior matters. Spiritual maturity requires spiritual preparation. It does not happen by chance or simply through the passage of time. If we wish to grow in God, we must prepare our hearts to do so. We've got to prepare our hearts to grow. We're going to go about five minutes probably over this morning because I want to make sure we get a word of Sister Carolyn in today. I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. God does it in a million different meaningful ways. He shows us that he is with us. Ezra, the letter from King Artaxerxes was confirmation that he was doing God's will. God will also show us that we're on the correct course. Through his word, the counsel of others, songs, and other means, we got to trust that God is with us in everything we do. And a word from our sister in Christ before we get out of here this morning. And a word is this. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. He is omnipresent, always and everywhere. There are two ways to perfect the love of God in your life. Two ways, love of God in your life. Number one, by keeping the word of God. And number two, by practicing love on others. Love on someone today. Have a fantastic Friday, family. Trust in God and know that he's got you covered from the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet. The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him. Seek the Lord today and know that he is seeking you and that he loves you. Thank you for listening in this morning. Thank you for your prayers. Made it safely here. I still have another leg to go home today. So continue praying for a girl as I travel these highways and byways, because I know that I'm not traveling alone. I travel with you, and I travel with the Holy Spirit. But God is with me in all that I do. Thank you so much, family. And as we pray our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, and know that God is good, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. I got to get on out of the way. Love you. Have a great day.